Money in markets, dollar now down. It's holding a little bit under 100. Let's see if it breaks the 100 line, but it's down 2.66% for the year. Fixed income, the yields have come up a little bit, so TLT is now, and price has stabilized. So the long Treasury TLT is up 1.53% for the year, the intermediate up 0.86%, bond aggregate up 0.75%, and then junk really back down. It's up 0.75% for the year. So we're starting to see the Treasury yields approaching a current yield, which is comparable to the large cap stocks, which has the potential of kind of putting a ceiling on the equity markets. And now we've seen the equity markets trade down, U.S. domestic markets trade down 6 days in a row. S&P now backed off and is up 5.15% for the year. Home builders still doing better, up 9%. Europe stronger at 7.55%. Germany at 7.14%. The developed markets minus North America 7.34%. China's still going strong at 13.05%. You would have thought the sort of the tapping of the stimulus would have brought it down a little bit, but part of it is a dollar weakness, and then the small caps Chinese at 14.67 and emerging markets strong at 13.42. Commodities, the CRB commodity index now off 4.61%. Gold improved a little bit, up 8.27%. Silver outperforming at 10.32%. Oil just having a terrible year, down 18.80%. We see the Republicans postpone the health care vote. They didn't have the votes. You have the Freedom Coalition really sort of leaving the fold, leaving the Republican fold, saying no, they won't vote. At the deepest part of this, you have a couple problems that can't be solved inside of Washington. I mean, here's the reality. We don't need insurance. We can't afford it. We need health care. And, you know, paying the extra spread for insurance and the complexity of it, you know, turning healthcare into a financial product is just adding a layer of money that we can't afford. The second thing is we can't afford a population with bad habits who's also digesting bad governance habits called GMOs, fluoride, vaccines, aluminum and barium from spraying. So we're spraying heavy metals all across, you know, the skies, and it's floating down, and it's, you know, it's causing early Alzheimer's, all sorts of problems, which has a direct impact on healthcare costs. Then we can't afford a pharmaceutical industry that's not subject to market forces. So not everybody can drive across the border to Mexico and get it for 10% of what it costs here, but you know, we pay a lot more for pharmaceuticals here than anywhere in the world. We also, unfortunately, take an enormous amount. So we have bad habits in corporations and the general population all around. Now, the reality is, in theory, you can solve all those problems by just throwing money at it, which is what we've done in Washington for many years. With the debt growth model over, can't be done. Now, one of my single biggest criticism on the budget blueprint that the administration has issued is, you know, essentially our $20 trillion of on the books debt is on the table, but $11+ trillion of missing money, plus even more, you know, total $50 trillion gone in the coup d'etat, is off the table. And my attitude is no, let's get it back on the table. Because we can't say, oh, you know, the banks need $27 trillion of bailout, so we're going to give them the money, but then people need health care. No, oops, the money's gone. You can't talk that way. So the equation needs to be rebalanced. Now, Trump has demanded that the Republicans vote on health care on Friday and says, okay, if we don't get it done, Obamacare stays. And essentially what he's saying, he's prepared to leave Obamacare in place and move on to other issues. Part of it, he knows he's got to get tax reform done before the recess at the end of July. And so he can't afford to spend all day going around in circles on Obamacare if there's no deal to be done. And there's so much disagreement on this. Part of it is how CBO scores. So anyway, that's the decision. They'll move on. I put up, or I sent an audio and then another video of interviews with Steve Pachesnik, who sometimes I find has very interesting opinions on things. I wanted you to hear two things. He's strongly critical of the budget blueprint, and really felt the Trump team should have moved on faster to revolutionize the military and intelligence, both scope and economics, to radically reduce the budget authority needed to support the military. I was assuming, okay, you need to increase to start the, you know, sort of the upgrades that are needed, and then you proceed with the reengineering, and so hence the increase. But Pachesnik, who has far more knowledge of the what's needed for the defense budget than I do, says absolutely not, huge waste. Let's start to reinvent how this is done. Makes a very compelling argument. I think it's worth considering. The second thing is he comes out very strongly against Gorsuch, the nominee for the Supreme Court. I hadn't realized, I'd looked into Gorsuch's background, but I hadn't realized he was the ringer who helped Gonzalez do the legal work on torture. That's a very, very disappointing fact. And you wonder, how in the world did he get by, did having that in his background get by Bannon and some of the others? And you would have think with Trump's sister having been a judge, that that would have gotten vetted. But this is why you want an open vetting process, you know, and sometimes it feels like everything's bogging down in the mud, but that's because these things need to get vetted and debated out. Peggy Noonan had a great article this week that says, hey, this is politics. You know, in fact, she said Trump ought to reach out to the Democrats, which on healthcare, which I absolutely agree. But, you know, this is how things get sorted out. And part of what has to happen is a lot more has to be thrown back on individual state and local government, because what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to change. And it's very hard for Congress kidders to turn around to all their different corporate and individual constituents and say, y'all need to change. There are other stinkers getting in there. Another one we keep seeing is the name Jamie Gorelick is popping up again and again as Ivanka and Jamie and her husband's attorney. So, you know, hello from the woman who helped engineer the housing bubble, the private prisons, and the targeting of Hamilton, not to mention the 9/11 commission and bankrupting Fannie Mae. And you think, how do these people just keep turning up? It's frightening. But again, that's why you want an open vetting process. So it's not clear to me what's going to happen with our Supreme Court nominee. Two book reviews I put up, and they're not books I'm recommending. The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, great. If you're interested in the Kennedy assassination, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much is a great story. And then Dark Money by Jane Mayer, which was kind of disappointing. She was writing about the Koch brothers and some of the other billionaires who were funding lots of political action and movement in this country. And it was a topic I wanted to know a lot about. And she did have a lot of good information, but she got lost in the ideology and burned up a lot of time on it. And it's hard for me to take that ideology seriously, because it's clear to me from the actions of many of these people that their actions don't match those philosophies. So why complicate things with philosophy when clearly philosophy has nothing to do with it? They don't believe those philosophies. Finally, a very interesting comment on Cut and Run. We put up a little piece done by James Quaid, a new member of our team and very old member of our network. Wonderful, wonderful guy who on Antarctica, called Who Owns Antarctica and How Much Is It Worth? We point out that Lockheed Martin, the largest defense contractor and government contractor, Lockheed Martin had the payment and information systems at the Department of Defense, through which we have now almost a little more than $11 trillion going missing since fiscal 1998. And last year they spun those systems off and put it in a new company that was also the remnants of a spinoff from SAIC, another very sort of black budgety defense contractor. So we have Lockheed basically spinning off the Information Systems and Global Solutions Group that has all these government liabilities, because, as you know, I think the contractors who affected those transactions, whether it was the information and payment systems or the banks, are liable for that money. So it put the, you know, so all this spins out into a new company. And what does it turn out that new company is doing? It has huge contracts down in Antarctica. What a coincidence. You look at this and you shake your head. So we thought it made sense to put up a little commentary that sort of connected all the dots. So take a look. It's quite a fascinating set of circumstances. Who owns Antarctica and how much is it worth?